Welcome back. In this lesson, we're exploring AI for learning, research, and academic productivity. If you've watched the overview, this will build on that. If not, you'll still be able to follow along. Now let's go further by exploring practical examples, future workplace relevance, responsible use, and how you can build confidence with this skill.
Absolutely. It's great to dive into this.
You know, when we look at the modern learning experience, whether you're like deep into a university degree or you're professional trying to upskill on some really complex new industry regulation, there is this universal bottleneck we all hit.
Oh, for sure.
And it's not a lack of access to information. I mean, it's the exact opposite, right? It is the absolute crushing weight of information overload. We are just drowning in PDFs, market reports, and, you know, those 80 browser tabs you refuse to close.
Yeah, the browser tab anxiety is real.
Right. We're trying to force feed our brains way more data than human biology was ever really designed to handle.
That is honestly the defining cognitive challenge of our era. I mean, think about it. We have access to the sum total of human knowledge right in our pockets. But our biological hardware, you know, the way our brains process, sort, and synthesize that knowledge, that hasn't had a major upgrade in like 100,000 years.
We're running ancient hardware on modern software.
Exactly. So what happens? We hit a wall. We just get overwhelmed and revert to passive consumption.
Yeah, I've been there. You just sit there rereading the same paragraph in a dense research paper like 5 times in a row.
Yes.
Just hoping the knowledge will magically osmosis its way into your brain somehow. Or you fall into that trap of endless highlighting.
Oh, the highlighting trap.
Where you end up with a page that's just entirely neon yellow. Which, you know, means absolutely nothing is actually highlighted.
Right, because highlighting feels like you're working. It gives you this false sense of productivity, but it's really just delaying the actual work of comprehension. And this is exactly why we need a complete paradigm shift in how we approach these new digital tools.
Okay, so let's get into that.
Well, there is this fundamental misconception out there that using AI in academia or professional research is just about cutting corners.
Like it's just a fancy way to cheat.
Exactly. That it's a way to cheat the system and avoid the hard work. But when you actually understand the mechanics of these systems, you realize it's the exact opposite. AI is really about fundamentally improving your cognitive organization, your efficiency, and honestly, the quality of your revision.
So it's not doing the learning for you.
No, not at all. It transforms you from a passive consumer of text into an active, digitally empowered learner.
Okay, let's unpack this, because I want to get into the underlying philosophy of this before we just start rattling off software tools, you know?
Good idea.
To really understand this shift, I think we have to talk about two massive concepts that have completely reshaped how I think about productivity.
What are they?
It's the idea of building a second brain and this practice called deep work.
Oh, yeah. Those are the perfect lenses through which to view AI. Let's look at that second brain concept first. The core premise here is that your biological brain is incredible at having ideas, right?
Right. Generating thoughts.
Generating thoughts, recognizing patterns, making these huge creative leaps. But it is frankly terrible at raw storage.
It's a terrible filing cabinet. I mean, if I try to remember a phone number for more than 10 seconds, it's gone.
Exactly. And if you try to hold every single statistic, every citation, and every project deadline in your head, you experience massive cognitive overload.
Yeah, you just freeze up.
You have absolutely no mental RAM left or actual thinking.
Yeah.
So building a second brain means deliberately offloading the capture, the storage, and the basic sorting of information into a trusted digital system.
And historically, that meant what? Complex note-taking apps, complicated folder structures?
Yeah, exactly. Elaborate tagging systems. But now, AI acts as this ultimate frictionless interface for that second brain.
Which perfectly sets up the second concept we mentioned. Deep work.
Right.
Because if your second brain is handling the storage and the messy categorization, your actual biological brain is freed up to do what only it can do, which is deep work.
Yes.
That state of totally distraction-free, high-intensity concentration that just pushes your cognitive capabilities to their absolute limit.
It makes a massive difference. It's basically the difference between spending 3 hours just trying to format your citations.
Oh, the worst.
Versus spending those same 3 hours actually analyzing the causal link between two historical events, you know?
Yeah, that makes total sense.
And if we look at the current landscape of AI in this context, it really breaks down into three distinct functional areas. The first is AI-assisted learning.
Okay.
This is moving away from just rote memorization and actually using the AI to force active recall and dynamic engagement. Then the second area is research support.
Right, where you're using the models to synthesize dense, complex information.
Exactly. And the third is productivity enhancement.
Yeah.
This is where we use the system to automate those draining, repetitive, administrative tasks that just eat up your cognitive bandwidth.
Okay, but here's where I want to push back just a little bit.
Sure, go for it.
Understanding the philosophy of a second brain is great. The theory sounds beautiful, right?
Right, it does.
But when you are actually sitting at your desk, staring at a blinking cursor in a blank prompt box, it is incredibly intimidating. I mean, I know people who have tried to use AI for research, typed in, summarized this topic, got back this generic, super boring response, and just gave up.
Yeah.
So how are we actually deploying this stuff effectively?
That is a very real phenomenon. We call it prompt paralysis, the blank page problem.
Mm.
To get past that, we really have to stop treating AI like a Google search bar and start treating it like a reasoning engine.
A reasoning engine. I like that.
Yeah. Let's break down three specific tools that solve very different problems in this workflow. We'll look at ChatGPT, NotebookLM, and Perplexity AI.
Awesome. Let's start with ChatGPT, or really any standard conversational large language model. Where exactly does that fit into the workflow?
That is your brainstorming partner.
Okay.
When you have the blank page problem, a conversational LLM is incredible at breaking you out of a mental rut. But here's the trick. You have to give it constraints.
So I can't just be vague.
Right. Don't just type, give me ideas for a paper on renewable energy. You have to engineer the prompt. You tell it. I am a graduate student analyzing the economic impacts of solar adoption in rural communities.
Oh, so you're setting a persona in a very specific context.
Exactly. Then you add, act as a critical professor and give me five unconventional angles I might not have considered and explain why they would make for a compelling thesis.
Wow. Okay. That is the ultimate cure for writer's block because it gives you something concrete to react to.
Yes.
And you aren't asking it to write the paper because that would bypass the actual learning. You're asking it to be a sounding board.
Yeah.
You can look at those five angles and say, well, number three is terrible, but number four, that actually sparks a totally new idea.
You are maintaining the driver's seat.
Yeah.
The AI is just the co-pilot.
Love that.
Now let's pivot to the second tool, NotebookLM, because this addresses a massive flaw in standard chatbots. If you ask a standard LLM to summarize a highly specific niche topic, it might hallucinate.
Right. It just makes things up.
Yeah. Or it might just give you a very broad Wikipedia-level overview based on its general training data.
Which really isn't helpful if I need to deeply understand my specific professor's lecture from last Tuesday.
Exactly. And this is where NotebookLM is an absolute game changer for research support. It operates on a mechanism called grounded generation, or RAG.
RAGs, like R-A-G.
Yeah, retrieval augmented generation. But basically, instead of chatting with the whole internet, you upload your specific documents.
Oh, I see.
You drop in your lecture slides, maybe the three specific PDFs you were assigned to read, and your own messy late night notes.
And then what?
The AI mathematically restricts its vocabulary and its reasoning strictly to the context you provided.
So it effectively becomes an expert whose entire universe consists only of your syllabus.
Precisely. You can ask it, synthesize the main arguments from these three different papers into one cohesive timeline. Or you could say, extract all the definitions of macroeconomic terms mentioned across these specific documents.
Wow.
It connects the dots within your closed ecosystem, which drastically reduces the cognitive load of organizing that information yourself.
That is a massive leap forward. But what if I am doing primary research?
What do you mean?
Like, what if I'm not just summarizing what I already have, but I need to go out and find the current scientific consensus on a completely new topic, and I need bulletproof citations for an essay?
Ah, okay. That is where the third tool, Perplexity AI, comes in. Perplexity functions fundamentally differently than a standard conversational bot.
How so?
It's an answer engine. When you ask it a question, it doesn't just predict the next word based on its internal weights. It actively executes web searches in real time.
Oh, so it's live.
Yes. It reads the live top results, synthesizes an answer, and this is the crucial part, provides inline academic or journalistic citations showing exactly where it got every piece of information from.
Which is vital because in academia, or frankly in any serious profession, an uncited claim is a worthless claim.
Exactly. You need the receipts.
So true. But I want to talk about the revision process for a second because this brings up an interesting debate I've heard a lot. Let's look at productivity enhancement. A lot of students spend countless hours making flashcards, right?
Oh, yeah, an incredibly popular study method.
Now, some cognitive scientists would argue that the physical act of making the flashcard is where the learning actually happens.
Sure.
But if I can just feed my notes into an AI and have it generate 100 flashcards instantly, am I short-circuiting the learning process? Am I cheating myself?
It's a great question, and it really comes down to the return on investment for your time. Yes, there is some friction in making a flashcard that aids memory. But if you are spending, say, 80% of your study block just formatting cards, copying and pasting definitions,
which takes forever.
Right. And then only 20% of your time actively testing your recall, your ratio is completely upside down.
You're doing data entry, not deep work.
Exactly. You can take your notebook LM organized notes, feed them into an AI, and instruct it. Act as a tough university examiner. Give me a multiple choice quiz on these core concepts.
That's a great prompt.
But then you add, don't just give me the answers. Explain the underlying logic of why the wrong answers are incorrect.
Oh, wow.
You just automated the data entry, so you can spend 100% of your time on the act of recall and actual comprehension.
It's literally creating a personalized, tireless tutor for yourself. And here is a point I want to really hammer home for you listening. These mechanics we are talking about right now, prompting for brainstorming, using grounded AI to summarize massive documents, structuring chaotic notes, testing your own knowledge. These are not just clever tricks to survive your midterm.
Absolutely not.
These are the exact same muscles, the exact same workflows that are becoming basically mandatory in the modern professional world.
There is a seamless transition from academic life to the professional workplace when you view it through the lens of these digital skills. We've seen case studies of students who completely overhauled their exam prep by blending traditional deep focus study methods with AI-generated practice questions and summary notes.
It gave them an edge.
A massive edge. They used the tool to clear away all that administrative brush, allowing them to focus deeply on the actual material.
Now let's take that exact student and project them, say, 3 years into the future. They've graduated. They are now a young analyst at a consulting firm, or maybe a junior manager at a tech company.
Okay, painting a picture.
It is 4:00 p.m. on a Friday. A senior partner walks in, drops a 50-page, incredibly dense, jargon-filled industry regulatory report on their desk, and says, I need you to prep me for a major executive presentation on this by 9:00 a.m. Monday.
Historically, that is a total nightmare scenario.
Your weekend is completely ruined.
Exactly. It means immense stress, lots of bad coffee, and trying to skim information you barely understand. The time pressure and the information overload are back in full force.
But if they have these future-proof skills, the workflow is identical to prepping for that midterm we talked about.
Identical. They don't panic. They upload that 50-page report into a grounded AI tool. They prompt it to extract the key compliance changes, the statistical market impacts, and the main arguments.
They could even take the messy transcript from the 4 p.m. briefing they just had with the partner, right?
Oh, absolutely. And they ask the AI to map the partner's spoken concerns against the written report's findings.
That's brilliant.
They even ask the AI to generate a list of hostile questions the board of directors is likely to ask the partner during the presentation.
Anticipating the pushback, just like they used to generate practice exam questions in college.
Yes. They are using the machine to do the heavy lifting of extraction so their human brain can do the strategic work of alignment and communication. That is what will separate the overwhelmed employees from the highly effective, truly indispensable ones.
Automating those repetitive tasks is a critical future skill, but I think we have to be very careful here.
Why is that?
Because this level of power requires a proportional level of responsibility. I am going to tap the brakes here for a second, because relying on a machine to do your processing comes with a very dark side if you don't understand how it works.
It does. And this brings us to a crucial checkpoint regarding responsible use. Independent thinking remains deeply, profoundly important. AI is a cognitive exoskeleton.
I love that phrase.
It is an augmentation tool. It is not and never will be a replacement for your own critical reasoning.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Because the mechanism of how these models actually fail is fascinating. I like to think of using AI like relying on a brilliantly fast, highly intuitive, but occasionally completely delusional GPS system.
Oh, that's a good comparison.
Yeah, like if you use it to navigate a complex new city, it's amazing. It finds the fastest route, it bypasses traffic. But If you completely tune out, if you stop looking out the windshield at the actual road signs and just blindly follow the blue line on your screen,
you are eventually going to drive your car straight off a pier into a lake.
Exactly. Right into the water.
That is the perfect analogy for AI hallucinations. To understand why you have to verify, you really have to understand the mechanism of a large language model.
Right. What's actually happening under the hood?
Exactly. It is not a database looking up facts. It's not a library. It is a highly sophisticated, probabilistic prediction engine. It is constantly predicting the next most statistically likely word in a sequence, based entirely on its training data.
It's essentially playing the world's most complex game of autocomplete.
Yes, autocomplete on steroids, which means it does not know the truth in any semantic or philosophical way. It only knows what language patterns look like.
So it's aiming for plausibility, not necessarily truth.
Right. So it can, and frequently does, generate information that sounds incredibly plausible, uses perfect grammar, adopts a highly authoritative tone, and is completely factually wrong.
Oh.
It will literally invent a book that doesn't exist, by an author who doesn't exist, published by a real university press, simply because that combination of words mathematically fit the pattern of your prompt perfectly.
Which means if you just blindly copy-paste that summary into your final university essay or into that 9 a.m. executive briefing we talked about.
You're driving the car into the lake.
Yep. Splash.
This is exactly why academic verification is not just a suggestion. It is an absolute necessity.
Yeah.
You take the output the AI gave you and you cross-reference it with trusted, peer-reviewed sources.
Yeah.
You have to actively maintain your critical faculties.
You must constantly be asking, is this accurate? Does this actually align with the textbook? Is this citation real? Does this conclusion actually make logical sense?
In the academic world, failing to verify leads to academic integrity violations, failed grades, and potentially expulsion.
And in the professional world?
Failing to verify leads to lost clients, public humiliation, and potentially losing your career. The accountability always, 100% of the time, rests with the human holding the steering wheel.
The AI is the co-pilot, but you are the pilot in command, always.
Always. And, you know, the best way to really understand this balance between the incredible speed these tools offer and the vital need for your own verification is to actually get your hands dirty and test it out firsthand safely.
You can't learn to swim by reading a book about water, right? You have to jump in. So let's give you a practical challenge to build this specific muscle.
Okay. I challenge you to set aside 45 minutes this week, just 45 minutes, and pick just one AI tool. Don't try to master them all at once.
Right. Keep it simple.
Pick ChatGPT for brainstorming, or Notebook LM for grounded documents, or Perplexity for research. Pick one and run it through a four-step process using material you are actively working on right now.
Okay. Walk us through the four steps. What's step one?
Step one, take a complex topic you are currently struggling to understand. Maybe it's cellular mitosis, maybe it's macroeconomics, and ask the tool to summarize it. Specifically, ask it to break down the heavy jargon into simple analogies.
That's step one. What's step two?
Step two, ask it to generate 5 rigorous study questions or interview questions based on that topic. Let it test you.
Okay, nice. Step three.
Step three, take a set of your own messy, unformatted notes from a meeting or a lecture and ask the AI to organize them into a clear, structured outline.
Oh, I love that one. And the final step.
Step four, ask it to create a realistic revision plan or a project timeline for mastering that material over the next 2 weeks.
That is a brilliant sandbox exercise because it hits all the pillars we discussed. But as you are doing this activity, I want you to actively interrogate the process.
Yes, critically important.
Don't just marvel at how fast the text appears on the screen. Ask yourself the hard questions. How exactly is this improving your organization? Are these notes actually structured better than you would have done manually?
Right.
How is it supporting your overall productivity? Be really honest with yourself. Is this actually saving you time? Or did you just spend 40 minutes trying to write the perfect prompt to avoid 5 minutes of reading?
That happens a lot. And that leads to the final and most crucial evaluation step of this challenge.
Mm.
You must evaluate the usefulness and the accuracy of the output. Did it hallucinate a fact in step one? Were the questions in step two genuinely thought-provoking, or were they super superficial?
This evaluation phase is where you practice that verification muscle. It's where you learn the true boundaries of the tool.
You are training your critical eye while you are training the AI. It is a dual learning process.
It really is. As we start to wrap up this deep dive, we really need to look at the bigger picture of what this means for your lifelong learning journey.
Yeah, we've covered a lot of ground.
We've gone from the raw cognitive bottleneck of information overload to the philosophy of the second brain to the practical mechanics of grounded generation, all the way to the realities of the modern corporate boardroom.
And thriving in that reality requires continuous agile adaptation. I really want to leave you with a final reflection prompt. It's a question you should carry with you long after this audio finishes and continually ask yourself as these tools evolve.
Let's hear it.
How can AI improve your academic or professional workflows while still supporting your independent learning?
That is the ultimate balancing act of the 21st century.
It truly is. And my final thought on this comes down to your unique intrinsic value. Think about it. If AI can eventually handle all the perfect summarizations, if it can instantly organize all the messy notes, and if it can flawlessly automate all the repetitive draining tasks.
Which it is getting closer and closer to doing.
Exactly. Then those administrative tasks are no longer your primary value add to the world.
So what?
Your ultimate competitive advantage in the future workplace. And honestly, the core of your academic life becomes your uniquely human curiosity.
Wow.
It becomes your ability to look at the AI's baseline output, apply your critical reasoning, and ask the right probing lateral questions that push the boundaries of what is actually known. The machine provides the baseline. Your independent thinking provides the breakthrough.
That is an incredibly empowering way to look at it. This technology doesn't make us obsolete. It actually challenges us to be more deeply human, to be more intensely curious, and to be better, sharper thinkers. We want to encourage you to stay curious, be responsible with these powerful tools, and stay future ready by constantly experimenting and adapting your workflows.
Keep learning. Keep verifying.
As a final reminder, please make sure to review the end of module study guide and complete the workbook activities we just discussed. Putting this into practice is where the real learning happens. We'd like to acknowledge the reference materials that helped inform this lesson, including the books Co-Intelligence, Deep Work, and Building a Second Brain. Thank you for joining us.